Aloe vera, a juicy medicinal succulent that you can be implementing into your diet and or your herbal regime. Hello, welcome to the Vital Veda Show. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Dylan Smith, an Ayurvedic practitioner and holistic health educator. And Ayurveda is the science of life, traditional medicine based on the laws of nature. And a huge component of Ayurveda is herbology. Damn, it's huge. It's so complex. You know, I've been studying Ayurveda for, I don't know, maybe 9 years or something. And I'm going to be studying it for another probably about 101 years, approximately, maybe 900 years. Just thinking about how much I got left in this Kali Yuga, this era of life. But this science of life, herbology, is a huge topic. It's called Dravya Guna, and it's so complex. You know, even people who study Ayurvedic herbology, who are herbalists and who are practicing herbalists and who study other modalities of herbalism, they come across Ayurveda and they're blown away. And it's just such a complex science because it was formulated by these rishis, these seers that are in such high levels of consciousness, and the formulas and the synergies they create with all these herbs and the processing methods and purification methods. It's like nothing you'll ever come across. One of the herbs in Ayurveda is called aloe vera, and called kumari, as they call it in Ayurveda. But aloe vera is such a wonderful herb, and we talk about why it's a very special herb for Ayurveda. So, you know, really the aim of this podcast episode is for you to learn all about aloe vera, about its amazing, you know, medicinal effects, where it's indicated, and how you can implement it into your life, whether it's your diet or your herbal regime. And, you know, especially for something that grows so abundantly and probably grows close to where you are right now listening to this. So we go into this in the podcast. You know, we talk about how to, you know, what aloe vera to take, how to harvest it, how to prepare it, purify it. And if you're going to buy the aloe vera products, the juices, what to look for, how to get the best ones. Talk about the Ayurvedic wisdom of aloe vera, all the different indications of aloe vera for female hormones, digestion, microbiome, liver health, blood sugar, diabetes, skin, of course we know the skin, eye conditions, tumors, cancer, immune system, goes on and on. Aloe vera for pets and animals. And then really, after we've kind of created that, then how to take it, which parts of the aloe vera leaf, how to prepare it. The aloe vera industry and so many other things. And to join us, we've got, you know, this man, Dr. Michael Haley, who's really devoted his, right now, you know, all his work to aloe vera, cultivating pure aloe vera. So before we get into the episode, I just want to let y'all know, if you know about Ayurveda, you've probably heard about the three doshas, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, the three doshas, are basically summaries of the five elements: space, air, fire, water, earth. Everything in the world is comprised of these five elements. Everything in the universe, every plant, every human, every person, every object, every herb. So Ayurveda uses these five elements and made it even more simpler. They said, forget five elements, let's do three doshas. And they just, you know, Vata, air and space, Pitta, fire and water, Kapha, earth and water. So really knowing this is a fundamental root of Ayurvedic anatomy and physiology. When you know these doshas, you can balance. And, you know, if you're listening to this on time, you know, in mid-November, I'm starting a three-day online immersion about restoring balance with these three doshas. Me and my friend Josh Blau, my good friend Josh Blau, yoga teacher, and we're going to really teach you to embody these three doshas, you know, how we can find balance within ourselves and how we can learn about them and practically experience these three doshas through certain practices and yoga techniques that, you know, journeys essentially to enliven these doshas within you and give you this different way of not just theoretical knowledge, but practically experiencing these and then learning more about, you know, the subtle mechanics of your physiology, these three doshas, and how you can balance it. And then you can therapeutically apply these principles of balancing these aspects of your body, which are really the foundation of your body. So it's not like you're only working with the three doshas. When you know how to balance the three doshas and you know about the three doshas, you can really help with many, 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 many circumstances, because it's all about the principles. So restoring balance with the three doshas. This is an online retreat, basically, and we're going to just take you through a journey for 3 days. Me and my good friend Josh Blau, and got a whole lot of cool stuff coming up, you know, lectures and special practices and certain ceremonies. So if you want to find out about that, you got to contact my man, Josh Blau. That's joshblauyoga@gmail.com. That's Josh Blau, B-L-A-U, yoga@gmail.com. And it starts on November 13th, which is, by the way, a very auspicious day. We started on that day for a reason. It's the day of Ayurveda in the universe. It's when Ayurveda, when the perfect health aspect of consciousness, that aspect of consciousness which heals, which brings health and dissipates dis-ease, that aspect of consciousness which we call Dhanvantri in Ayurveda, but basically the perfect health aspect of consciousness starts on November 13th, and we start this course to learn these aspects of perfect health. So, you know, if you want to find out more, joshblauyoga@gmail.com. Check that out. Now, don't forget, with every show, especially this one, check out the show notes. There's a lot of detail, resources, everything we talk about, we touch on. And check out all the other shows. There's some bloody awesome shows on this podcast. Damn. And also, coming up, geez, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. So, you're just going to have to see. I'm not going to tell you all now. Check out the newsletter to be really in the loop, to get the special offers and, yeah, get the more detailed knowledge that is shared by the newsletter. Otherwise, Instagram, Facebook, you know, bits of knowledge here and there. And by the way, the Facebook community, we talk about that in this podcast, because we talk about sharing plants, sharing herbs, sharing cuttings so that each of us can grow it. And for that, you got to hit up the Vital Veda community Facebook page, where, you know, we reach out to people. Who's got an aloe vera shooting? Who's got a tulsi cutting that I can plant? Oh, I'm in, you know, Hungary, Budapest. Anyone want tulsi cuttings? I've got heaps. I'm in London with this, so check those things out. All right, my friend, we're going to get into the aloe vera. Any questions, any comments, want to leave a review, go for it, support, show the love, reach out. If you, by the way, I need more people to podcast. I don't know who, I'm only looking for the experts. So if you got anyone that you think, reach out, send an email or comment rather on a post. All right, my friend, let's get juicy and squishy and succulent like while we get this nice gel of wisdom feeding that gel that is our brain, aloe vera. Dr. Michael Haley, thanks so much for joining me. Thank you. Michael Haley helps people discover the health-promoting benefits of pure raw aloe vera. And for him, it's more than a job. It's his mission and vision. Dr. Haley's health principles are based on science, tradition, and in line with the scriptures. And it'd be interesting to know what scriptures you have studied. Dr. Haley owns and operates Stockton Aloe One, makers and distributors of pure aloe vera drinks and personal care products. He also maintains his private chiropractic clinic in Florida. Dr. Haley is an expert of phytonutrition and superfoods and teaches in the area of organic chemistry and nutrition. He focuses on a deep understanding of aloe vera's pure potential, pure use in a variety of health and wellness needs. Wow. Focus on aloe vera, Michael. How did you get into that?
Oh, boy. You know, I remember when I was sailing one day, and I do not know much about sailing, even to this day. I learned a big lesson that day. I was asked to pull up the sail. I pulled the rope, pulled the sail all the way up to the top of the mast, and then looked at the captain with a look on my face that probably said, "What next? I have no clue what I'm doing." By then, wind had filled the sail. I didn't have that rope locked down, and it began ripping through my hands. I knew it wasn't good. I tried to stop it, and I finally let go when I felt my skin melting. Well, from that point, all I could do is grab everything that was cold. I think I was holding on to the last cold bottle of water they had as we were approaching land, trying to keep some of the pain down. The pain finally subsided, and Rodney Stockton came to me and said, "You just have to put this on your hands." I remember bandaging up my hands with this aloe vera topical that he had created, and looking at them 3 days later and thinking, my goodness, they look better now. They look younger now than they did before the injury that happened just 3 days earlier. Absolutely amazing.
Beautiful. It's like really nice. Such a, you know, some may say significant, some may say it's not, but to trigger such a passion and drive into you know, creating pure aloe vera and really focusing that, it seems, on your practice in your work.
Well, you know, my experience with it only grew from there. I remember it was probably 10 years later that I had a patient using aloe vera. At the time, she was battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And aloe vera was a big part of her getting well program. And 11 years later, she's still alive and I would imagine probably cancer free. Well, I've seen many more like that since then. And eventually, Rodney Stockton at 96 years old had passed away from a heart attack. And our completely raw, unprocessed aloe vera gel supply was in jeopardy. I spoke to his wife. She asked for help. We stepped in and revived the company, revived the product line, I should say, because her company actually failed. But we started a new company in the same product line. And we're the only people literally providing a product like this internationally even now.
Yeah, beautiful. We're going to get into the health benefits of aloe vera. You've already mentioned one with the cancer, one with the skin in your case. But before we get into that, because aloe vera is such an important herb in what I practice, Ayurvedic medicine, I'd love to share some of the Ayurvedic wisdom and the traditional teachings and indications that they've mentioned. And perhaps you can, if you've come across that in terms of modern science, you can kind of correlate that. As well as I would love to also hear the other traditions and you mentioned scriptures and all this that you've studied in with aloe vera. But first of all, I just like to say, I really love to, you know, tell the Sanskrit name of a herb, because Sanskrit, which is the ancient language of India, it's not really a language. It's the whole language is sound. It's the sound that nature is intending to make. So that's the sound that nature is intending to express some form or phenomena or plant. So the whole of Sanskrit is onomatopoeia. Like the best example is heart. Heart in Sanskrit is hridya. Hridya. But the name for aloe vera in Sanskrit, and of course, like many herbs, there's many names, but the kind of main name is Kumari. And Kumari means a young maiden, like a young woman. And it reveals the affinity for aloe vera's, you know, the affinity that it has for female menstrual cycle and the rejuvenative powers for maintaining youthfulness for women. So, of course, we think of aloe vera, we think of skin, but Ayurveda, a primary use of that is for the female hormones and female reproductive system. So, would you like to comment on if you've, you know, come across aspects related with that?
I don't know much about it related to specifically the reproductive system. However, I do know from if we stand back and say, what is probably the most important system we have that is going to affect everything else in our body? We'd probably look at the digestive system, which has been referred to our second brain. It is going to affect the chemistry of our entire body and have a significant effect on how everything works, from our thought processes to our energy levels, our sleep patterns, and all of these things carry over to every other system. Traditionally, aloe vera has been used for skin and digestive health. Scientifically, now we know many of the benefits and why people have been using this for thousands of years. So if I looked at it from that perspective, I could probably make sense of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can go into the digestive. That's definitely also a big indication. But I'll just, you know, with herbs, we really try to look at the energetics and rather than trying to remember it's good for this and good for this, like why is it good for these substances? And we can look at the taste of aloe vera. It's bitter and sweet. Mm-hmm. And the energy is cooling. And then we have an Ayurveda post-digestive effect, which is sweet, which it kind of has that nourishing also aspect. And the gunas, the qualities, it's heavy and unctuous, like a kind of oily, and of course slimy. And a power of aloe vera is that it reduces all the doshas, so all the biological humors, all the energies in the body, and even can nourish all the tissues of the body. So this is kind of why it's quite special. And I'll just add before we get into the digestion with the reproductive system. So You know, they use the gel in the juice when there's excess bleeding or clots. And also the fact that it clears the liver, so it can directly help the blood channels in the blood. So that can affect the menstrual blood. And it can regulate the uterus. It even can promote, Ayurveda says, it promotes the menstruation. And it's just an overall good tonic. So even the cooling and the slimy quality, unctuous quality can help with the hot and dry menopause. So this is with that. And of course, the same with the, and you can go into the digestion, but I would, you know, you just look at it, it's cooling. So when there's mostly the inflammation in the gut, right? In the digestive tract.
Yeah, absolutely. People are using it for every inflammatory bowel condition you can imagine from, if we think of the front end, say acid reflux, all the way down to the back end, colitis. There's 100 names in between the front and the back end for what part of the system is involved and what we think may have caused it. Is it autoimmune? Is it from diet? Is it from antibiotics? But really, they're all one and the same. It's an inflammatory condition somewhere between the mouth and the anus. And the cure is probably not medicine, but probably a change in diet.
Yeah, and a lot of the medicine, unfortunately, they use the antacids, which is protein pump inhibitors, which are quite, they can come with adverse effects, that's for sure. Not only the side effects, but people I see get addicted to them. And when they get off them, they're usually worse than they are before they got on them.
That's probably the number one reason why people learn about aloe vera. Someone says, you shouldn't be taking those. Try aloe vera. And people find that they don't need the proton pump inhibitors when they're consuming aloe vera.
Yeah, so it has that beautiful cooling effect and healing of the mucous membranes of the gut. So it helps in all those. And what about, have you come across any effect of the microbiome? Because I've heard some relation with aloe vera and regulating levels of candida.
Well, I think that there's many mechanisms that could play a role in that. If we back up and look and say, well, what happens when people have a leaky gut? They've probably disrupted their microbiome and maybe killed off that layer of protection, that microbiome layer of protection. Now things are inflamed. Aloe vera certainly does cool and help speed heal, accelerates healing. But it's also rich in a dietary fiber, which can help feed and nourish your microbiome back to health. But there's a certain sugar molecule in aloe vera. When we think of candida, we think, well, don't have sugar because candida loves sugar. I do not fully understand how mannose, the sugar molecule that makes up the mucopolysaccharides in aloe vera, are processed differently than glucose. What I do know is when diabetics use aloe vera, it helps lower and stabilize blood sugar levels. Well, how can that be if aloe vera, if ACE mannan, if the mucopolysaccharides are primarily sugar molecules joined together in this complex carbohydrate that we call a mucopolysaccharide? Somehow it lowers and stabilizes blood sugar levels. There was a research done for cancer patients that were using chemotherapy in conjunction with aloe vera. The 120 that got the aloe vera with their chemotherapy had more than threefold what they considered a complete result over the 120 that only had the chemotherapy. Well, another research project gave some insight to what may have done that, and studying mannose, they realized that the cancer cells would lock on to the mannose molecules as if they were trying to consume them, but they couldn't. And at the same time, they couldn't release them to consume the glucose. So it would actually starve these cells. So when we look at this whole sugar candida thing, we might see some insight that mannose, the sugar molecule, acts differently and might somehow be interfering with their metabolism, so to speak.
Interesting. It's like what I just had an image of is those cancer cells locking onto that mannose and kind of not achieving what they thought they were going to achieve. And they're like, oh, that's it. I'm finished then.
I think it would be like if you tried to bite into this huge apple and after you got your teeth sunk into it, you realized I'm not strong enough to finish this, but suddenly I can't open my mouth wide enough to get it out. What do I do? And I think that's what's happening with the cancer cells in a sense, if we were to oversimplify it.
So what would they do? Just retreat and stop proliferating, perhaps?
They would starve.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So that's interesting with the diabetes, and I did read an effect that it can regulate blood sugar and reduce, you know, the triglycerides. And maybe because, I mean, in Ayurveda, it said the gel promotes, you know, it stimulates the liver to release bile. Maybe that's playing a role in the blood sugar. And it's shown also in the Ayurveda also, of course, it's, again, that cooling reduces the inflammation in the liver and the spleen, which can help in jaundice and viral hepatitis. So definitely good for the liver. And I'll just say, like, bring it even more simple, like bitter, it's bitter. So bitter herbs usually will reduce the blood sugar. It will reduce that kind of excess fat and lighten the body up in that way, lighten the pressure on the pancreas and things. So, and then of course, skin is a common thing. And by the way, we're going to get into what aloe vera to take if you're going to be inspired by all these wonderful indications, because that's very important. And we're going to go into that in a bit. But let's keep going with the indications and what uses. So, of course, skin.
You know, I learned something from you for sure already, and that was kumari. I had never heard of that before.
It's a very big herb in Ayurveda. And have you heard of the three doshas in Ayurveda?
No.
Vata, Pitta, Kapha? Okay, yeah, well, so it's a kind of common thing in Ayurveda that Ayurveda says the whole universe is made up of five elements: space, air, fire, water, earth. And these elements are dominant in every single thing, every single human, every single plant, every single object. And Ayurveda kind of simplified those five elements into what they call three doshas, and that's Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Vata is the air and space element. Pitta is the fire and water. Kapha is the earth and water. So basically what Ayurveda does, it's really simple foundational healing. I mean, Ayurveda means the science of life. So it's such a broad and holistic body of knowledge. But it just takes any person and looks at the elements in their body. This is the real foundation. This is, I'm simplifying it, and says, okay, you have this imbalance of this element. How can I bring another element to balance that? So if someone has, you know, a lot of inflammation in their body, whether it's in the skin like eczema or it's in the, you know, hepatitis, anything like this, they'll just bring a cooling thing or a bitter herb to provide the cooling action. And so, and looking at the tastes is really essential. And yeah, kumari is a huge medicine in Ayurveda. They especially, in the most famous preparation you might want to look at is called kumari asava, and it's a wine. It's a medicated wine. One of the preparations of Ayurveda is wines, and it's a really extensive herbal modality, the whole of Ayurveda, especially for people who study herbalism and they come to Ayurveda and like, wow, because the it was created by these rishis, these seers, these people of very high intelligence thousands of years ago. And I've tried to create formulations and my teachers just say to me, just leave it to the rishis. It's too complex. And because they've got 30, 40 herbs in a formula. And as soon as you start mixing herbs, the synergy changes. So kumari asava is a very powerful herb for female reproductive system and really to create youthfulness in the female genital tract and to clear these menstrual issues.
That's interesting, especially since you said kumari does mean a young maiden.
Yeah.
And so it does tie in with that. I also found it interesting when you mentioned young maiden. I thought, you know, it's funny. I tell a lot of our new customers when they say, well, how much should I drink? Well, everybody's different, but just as a ground rule, I like to have people front end load so they get an understanding about what it can do, what it might change in them. And then as they learn how it's affecting their body, to adjust their serving sizes accordingly. I don't think they're going to consume too much, but there seems to be maybe a point of diminishing returns where more is not necessarily better. With other things, you can actually have too much and change the balance of things. It does. I haven't seen that with aloe vera with the inner gel. I have seen that, of course, with the outer leaf. We could talk about that in a moment too. But I have heard so many people come back after just a week of consuming 8 ounces a day and say, I don't recognize myself. I look in the mirror and I see a younger version of me. Could that be from the aloe vera? Absolutely. We've heard it again and again and again. And that ties in with the name Kumari.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think also Cleopatra used it for her beauty and internally and externally. And yeah, for the skin, of course, it's again just reducing that inflammation with eczema, dermatitis, shingles, acne. The gel contains these polysaccharides which reduce the inflammation and heal the mucous membranes of the skin. And it enhances the skin. In Ayurveda, it's said to, we call this fire element is on our skin. This pitta is on our skin, and it kind of enhances the metabolism of our skin, which will enhance the luster, it said in Ayurveda, and the quality. So, of course, and I'd love to go, because it's very interesting. Ayurveda does mention it's for tumors and for those excess growths or even fibroids. So, we call it granti. It's interesting because whenever I correlate, I'm like, okay, so why does it, obviously the skin, it's cooling, all these things, liver, similar, but the granti, those tumors, those excess growths, haven't quite figured out how, because it is actually it's a bit of a heavy, unctuous substance, herb, but, of course it will reduce the inflammation. So, yeah, what's the deal with integrating aloe vera with cancer and tumors?
It's a great question. And this is not my favorite scientific source. Usually I'll go to a place like PubMed.gov, but the source I'm going to quote now, if they're saying it, it must be true. And that's Wikipedia. If you look up Ace Manin on Wikipedia, even in the Wikipedia, and the reason I'm saying this, they usually aren't supportive of natural things being beneficial, especially against tumors. But it describes Ace Manin and references research that says Ace Manin causes your macrophages to secrete more tumor necrosis factor and two other things also, interferon and interleukin. But tumor necrosis factor, tumor, cancer, necrosis, death to the factor that causes death to cancer. So how does it work? Essentially, when your macrophages secrete this, it causes your immune system to recognize cancerous cells so that it can deal with them instead of looking at them and saying, no, that's me. That's Michael Haley. That's Dylan Smith. Leave those cells alone. We all have cells that change, that don't reflect what they should have and that our immune system should deal with. But if our immune system does not recognize those, we have problems. Tumor necrosis factor helps them do that.
Beautiful. Yeah, love the intelligence. And that's the beauty of herbs, is rather than, extracts even or supplements, laboratory made things, it's triggering the body's intelligence. So it's beautiful. And I just want to just mention some other things, like before we get into the actual plant and how to take it. It's also, in Ayurveda said, it's good for the eyes and internally, as well as you just apply it topically, and it's so soothing and cooling and reduces the inflammation in the eyes and the swelling of the eyelids. And it's also even said for the vaginal yeast and also for the immune system. And yeah, would you like to comment on the immune system? I haven't read much about that.
There's several ways where it can help the immune system. So some of these will be not hypothetical, but theoretical. For instance, if aloe vera helps heal and seal and promotes gut health, if it improves the gut function, well, that is where your immune system is largely located, in your gut. So there should be a benefit right there. But we also know, and this was interesting, it was a research project done by Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida. They had given aloe vera with supplements to one group and only supplements to another group. And then they measured plasma levels of these nutrients. The group that received the aloe vera with their supplements demonstrated higher levels of every single nutrient they tested for. So somehow it's causing the body to absorb nutrition from food or supplements better, which, as you know, good nutrition, good blood chemistry can help the body work more like it's supposed to. So quite possibly that's a mechanism that is helping the immune system. We know it lowers and stabilizes blood sugar levels, and we know that immune function decreases when sugar levels are high. That might be a mechanism. We happen to know, you know, the tumor necrosis factor is a immune boost in a sense, and also the interferons and interleukins that are increased by ACE mannan. That may be a function. So there's so many ways in which it can help it. You know, if it detoxifies the liver and helps detoxify the body, that might be a mechanism. It's one of those things where it's a little too big for my brain to really be able to figure it out. I know that it works. I know it's beneficial, just like I know that fruits and vegetables are better than candy. When we step back and look at it from the big picture of it, we've gotten so off track. And when I say we, I don't mean you and people that have learned to eat real food again and use herbs and spices and things in a way that's beneficial to us. But most people are consuming packaged foods, and they've gotten far away from what our body should be consuming and should have to utilize for optimal health and well-being. So we obviously know this is one of those not only beneficial, it might be super beneficial, it might be a superfood, possibly higher than others. And I believe Ayurvedic medicine considers it, and I don't even know if that's the proper term, the miracle food or the miracle plant. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say it's the miracle plant, but it is kind of said as a very special or hero herb because of its ability to reduce all the three doshas, which are all those five elements, as well as affect all the seven tissues. You know, Ayurveda says the seven main tissues in the body, and, you know, which is like a summary of like lymph, blood, muscle, fat, bone marrow, and reproductive tissue. So it has the ability to access all of those, whether some herbs really would just specifically be with. So that's why it is, why it's special.
Yeah. So for some of the special foods, special plants, special herbs, we might consider them, well, there's foods and there's superfoods. It seems to have clearly demonstrated its place among the super of superfoods.
Beautiful. And I'm just going to add lastly, it's also, Ayurveda also says it's even reduces the poison. And yeah, those are the main things that Ayurveda says. And will you talk about the effect of aloe vera with pets or with animals?
Yeah, we have a lot of veterinarians that are recommending their pet owners to our aloe vera and even prescribing them and providing them for them out of their veterinarian clinics. It works in cats and dogs the way it does in humans. They benefit from these things too. But they've actually done research on dogs demonstrating its ability to fight cancer significantly, where the group that got the aloe vera improved, and those that didn't had a higher mortality rate. Horses are using it for digestion. The way that you can tell a horse has healthy digestion is they are calm. And horse owners are realizing when they give their horses aloe vera, they're calm. They have, they get impaction in their bowels when they're, you know, I guess probably from eating grass that's caked in sand or dirt. I don't know quite what's happening, but aloe vera somehow is helping their digestion continue to move. So yes, absolutely. It's beneficial for pets.
Beautiful. Okay. So, and by the way, we've got a lot of questions. Yesterday I put out on Instagram on my story, any questions aloe vera, and we've got a lot. We're going to get into it because a lot of it is about the practical use, the practical side of it. And so we're going to go into how can you use it. And I'd like to start off with, you said, you know, it's very hard to kind of take too much and get adverse effects.
Yes. Can we split the aloe vera into the plant parts at this point? Because I don't want to create confusion on
point. That's one thing. Yes, yeah, so definitely. So yes, what parts and how to take it. And then I'd love to share with you a very interesting preparation in Ayurveda, but yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you know, years ago, actually the National Institute of Health and the FDA had teamed up to prove that aloe vera causes cancer. So what they had done is got a bunch of rats and gave them ungodly amounts of the outer leaf extract, aloe vera extract, usually, and they didn't call it outer leaf extract. The research project referred to it as aloe vera extract, which we have to assume means the outer leaf.
Is that the actual skin or the gel on the kind of peripheral part of the leaf?
You know, I stumbled across a video on YouTube from a company in India that was manufacturing aloe vera. And what they were doing is they called it tapping. They would take the aloe leaves and cut the ends off and then lay them in a, almost making like a chimney with the ends of the leaves pointing to the center. And they had already dug a hole and put in a tarp that would catch the liquid that comes out. And what would bleed out of these leaves is the outer leaf aloin, the yellow sap. I was amazed because when they'd go to collect that sap the next day, and they had aloe leaves in the circle, maybe 4 or 5 feet high, they would push the leaves out of the way. And in those leaves is all the healing gel, what we call the crystal, because they were just interested in collecting the sap. And years ago, there were companies that were marketing that as a natural laxative because it does have a laxative effect. And we might argue that maybe it has an irritation effect too. And maybe that is why it has a laxative effect. Now, it doesn't mean that that is bad. It doesn't mean it can't be used medicinally, but separate from the counterbalance, the inner leaf gel, I believe it is probably too irritating. And in the amounts they had given it to these rats, the goblet cells of the intestines grew. Well, what do? They secrete mucus. So when ungodly amounts of an irritant comes through, the cells say, we need more mucus. Grow the cells that make the mucus. And that adaptive change of cells growing, we call cancer. Well, because of that study, they're no longer manufacturing laxatives from aloe vera that I know of. The inner leaf gel, on the other hand, is being used widely for its gut healing and calming effects. And whole leaf aloe vera is also available. Whole leaf means that it will have the inner leaf gel and the outer leaf extract together in one product. And some people will take an aloe leaf and merely slice off a segment and put it in their blender and smoothies or chop it up and eat it on a salad. So looking at it from that perspective, if we were focused on the outer leaf component of aloe, the bitter part, you can definitely have too much of that. I can ask. Also, let me tell you a funny little story, actually, because this is real. This is when I failed to make this distinction. my new employee at my chiropractic office, on her second day of work, came in sad. And I had known her for many years because she was actually working in the office where I went to get chiropractic care many years ago. And when that office had closed, I hired her. And she came in sad the second day. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, I found out that I'm having another bout of cancer." And I said, "Okay, I don't want you to worry about this. We're going to help you through this. But for now, I want you to start drinking this aloe vera." And I grabbed her 2 half-gallon bottles and I put her on large amounts. And I said, "I want you to drink 3 glasses a day of this. And then we'll continue to make some changes in what you're doing." Well, she spent the next 2 days in the bathroom at work. And at the end of the second day in the bathroom, before going home, she said, "Dr. Haley, is it possible that the aloe is running right through me?" I said, "Well, no, not really. I said, "Well, you know, if you had gotten aloe from Whole Foods, then it's possible, but not what I gave you." She said, "Oh." I said, "What do you mean, oh?" She said, "Well, before drinking what you gave me, I thought I would finish my husband's. He drinks it for his diabetes." I said, "Oh no, how much did you drink?" She said, "I couldn't do 3 glasses, only 2. I thought, "Oh my God." I said, "I'm glad you didn't try 3 because it could have killed you. You can have too much of the outer leaf because it has that strong laxative effect. Diarrhea, vomiting can deplete you of your hydration, your electrolyte minerals. Yes, it can be dangerous. The inner leaf gel, you're going to have a hard time getting too much of that. It is, you know, 96, 95, 97% water and a balance of amino acids and vitamins and minerals, phytochemicals, asmanin. You're going to have a hard time getting too much of that when it comes to you in such a balanced way that your body will just deal with the excess."
That's beautiful. That's really, I'm glad to hear that because it's more inspiring for me to start using aloe vera more in my food. And I think a big, particularly just because it, you know, especially where I live, it grows so commonly grown. So I've kind of always steered away from it. But one thing I would like to add is, what about the fact that, you know, we say, you know, it's very cooling, so it can put out the digestive fire. So for those who have weak digestive power, which can be like, you know, low digestive acid, you know, low digestive enzymes, it can be hard. It can put out their, literally put out their digestive fire. So that's why in Ayurveda, we usually say, you know, if you're going to eat it like that, like put it in a smoothie or eat the gel or whatever, always add some digestive spices to help enkindle the digestive fire, such as turmeric, cumin, or ginger. So what are your thoughts on that putting out the digestive fire? That's such a cooling herb.
You know, it's funny. I talked to one of our customers just a couple days ago, and he had been struggling with his burning pain. He said, "You have no idea how bad this can be unless you've experienced it." And he said, "It has been so bad, I've wanted to end my life." And after struggling with this for 10 years and trying different medicines and even herbal remedies, he said some of them he felt like they might be helping a little bit, but he was told to try the aloe vera. He said as soon as he swallowed it, he felt a cooling relief of his pain. Now, I don't expect that in everyone. I do expect some of the fires to be put out, most of the fires to be put out in 2-3 days at the max. And the reason for that, some of our digestive issues are deeper, and some of us have slow moving systems, and it might take time for that aloe not only to work its way from the front end to the back end, but also be absorbed into our bloodstream and carried to all the tissues of our body. I've never known anyone with bleeding bowels to continue to bleed for more than 3 days, consuming the large amount of aloe vera that I put them on to put out the fire.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm also, that's, I totally agree with that, but I'm also referring to, you know, good fire. Like we need some fire to metabolize our food.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I'm talking about digestive acids and enzymes. We call it, it's a very key concept in Ayurveda. We call it Agni. And so your digestive fire, it's what metabolizes the food, metabolizes the life. So those with very low digestive strength would have a low digestive fire.
I understand now. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. It's like aloe vera. It's like sugarcane juice. It's like coconut water. You just gulp a big cup of that. You know, your digestion is going to be very low, especially if you're going to do it before a meal. You're not going to have the digestive fire to metabolize that meal.
It is interesting. Aloe vera actually has natural digestive enzymes as well. I don't know if you've ever seen a digestive enzyme demonstration. I remember Dr. Andrea Hazim one day in her health lecture, she had brought in a bowl of oatmeal. And she opened up this capsule of digestive enzymes and sprinkled it on the oatmeal. And we watched that oatmeal liquefy in the bowl.
Wow.
Now, I don't think we should need to add digestive enzymes because they are in some of our foods. And we should be working our natural enzymes into our food when we use our teeth, which some people don't do. But yes, you can consume enzymes, but isn't it cool that there are natural enzymes in foods that will help light that digestive fire?
Yeah. And it actually is interesting also, but it does say that it does enkindle the Agni, the digestive fire. So increases that also, although it does very cooling. So yeah, that's, and is there some laxative component in the outer, sorry, in the inner gel?
To an extent, but I believe that's going to be more a result of the fiber. There is a lot of digestive fiber in aloe vera, and it happens to be already swelled up if you're drinking it in the juice. It's already good and swollen. But when you consume that, it does naturally stimulate peristalsis, which is that digestion motion from the front to the back end. I don't know if that's the only mechanism, but I think it's certainly an important one.
Mm-hmm. And that video that you watched about in India, did that turn to a black color? That
I do believe it did. Boiling?
Yeah. So, go on.
Yeah. Well, it was in a tarp, but looking down on it, you couldn't tell if it was the color of the tarp or what it was. But I also know that it was a day old.
Mm-hmm. Because in Ayurveda, there's a preparation called kalabol. And it's a solid gum obtained after boiling the whole aloe vera juice, and it becomes like a thick black paste, and it's for a very strong purgative. And you boil it, the aloe vera, on very like slow consistency, even coal, and it's for not, it's obviously like a short term thing. And even you can give a tiny pinch to children for constipation, although we would much prefer the other methods first, as it is a strong and laxative. But yeah, that's one of the preparations, and yeah, so I'd love to talk more about how people can take aloe vera. I'd like to start with back to nature, with harvesting your own, because it grows everywhere. I can't say everywhere, but it grows so common, and of course there's over 250 species of aloe vera, and you know, we see a lot of them at least I can say, like in my street alone, like you'll come across big clusters of it. And of course, that's not the usual, the most common aloe vera or aloe vera barbadensis, which is that beautiful, thick, squishy, light green, white spotted aloe vera. Let's start with the plants and with harvesting your own.
If you can grow it, you should. And you mentioned that it's where you are, and you're in Australia.
Yeah.
And certainly places that are getting a lot of sunshine, it's going to grow better. We have been shipping the little baby plants, little baby pups, all over the United States. And we've gotten some into Canada. We have a hard time getting them outside of the border of the United States. In fact, even crossing from one state to another is difficult because there's so many rules. But we have people growing them everywhere. And in the colder regions where there's less sun, you certainly have to keep them potted and be able to bring them inside during the colder weather. Once they go below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, they are going to go limp. They will not make it. But indoors, if you can only grow them indoors, if you have enough light, light is their fuel for growth, they will do well, and they are known to help purify your air as well. If you just start by slicing off some leaf and experimenting with it, you will get hooked. I know that women like to cut the leaves open, and after bleeding out the yellow bitter stuff, using that gel almost like a bar of soap on your face. And it's almost a temporary facelift, so to speak. As it dries, you feel it tightening up your skin and giving it this beautiful appearance. Well, at the same time, it's being absorbed into those tissues and helping preventing aging. We've had many people report not only that dark spots are fading, but white spots are darkening in the sense that they're coming back to, on either side of the spectrum, back to the normal tone of the skin. And this is just using it topically. People are using it on their cracked heels, on their fungal infections. People are using it for every kind of skin condition known, from eczema to psoriasis. Now, when we get into possible allergic situations, spot test it just to make sure you're not going to have a problem with it. But it happens to be one of those things that very few people are allergic to. Now, start imagining all those benefits topically. Imagine what it could do if you could ingest it and let your blood flow and carry it to all of the tissues of your body. If it can do visible things on the outside, imagine what it could do on the inside. And if consuming it, ingesting it, is visible on the outside, imagine all the more what it's really doing on your insides.
How can, what ways can we implement it into our diet? Or, I mean, I didn't know about this inner gel until I came across your work, and I was kind of just eating that yellow stuff and the whole gel. So it was not good taste at all. Even the beautiful, thick, slimy, young aloe vera I was growing. Mm-hmm. So if we take the, you know, I assume that's less bitter. Is that right?
You know, if you cut the ends of the leaf off and let that leaf bleed out, I like to soak it in water for about 5 to 10 minutes at the most. By then, the long tubules in the skin of the aloe will drain the bitter stuff out. Then I'll finish the fillet process. And let me start over. I'll actually cut the spines off and the ends.
The spines.
Yes. Yeah. So now I only have the two skins, and I'll let that soak in a tub of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll put that leaf flat on the cutting board. I'll use a dull blade and just push it along as if I was, well, filleting. Push the dull edge along the inside of the skin on one side, then turn it over and do it on the other. And you almost leave, in two quick swoops, you almost leave no gel in the skin. And then that fillet, you can cut it up and eat it on a salad. You can put it in a blender and probably slow speed blend it if you have that option, because it will foam up. It will settle down. When you drink it, if you prepared it in that method of letting it bleed and then soaking it for just a few minutes, it won't have any bitterness.
Does it have a taste?
I've heard someone say it tastes like drinking out of a garden hose. And I haven't done that in about 40 years, maybe 50, but I remember that taste. And it's a pretty accurate description.
That's funny. Yeah. And I would like to, like, I would suggest adding some kitchen spices to it, even just a bit of ginger, turmeric, just to increase the digestibility of it, because it is a little heavy.
My wife added salt the other day.
Oh, interesting. Cool. And so when you bleed it, when you soak it in water, will it mainly be a yellow color which is coming out?
Yes, the water will turn a yellow brownish color.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if we want to kind of harvest more at a time, or we, you know, harvest a lot and we want it for the next few days, is it okay to keep it over a few days? Should we be preserving it?
You will notice that it will change. We have had it scientifically measured after freezing and thawing, and the nutrients that we were testing for, we did not see a decrease in them. So it does seem to freeze well. And if I were freezing it, I would actually run it through a grinder first and turn it into a liquid, which seems to help keep oxygen off it, keep air off of it, prevent oxidation, in a sense, as you put it in a container where it's, you know, flush against the sides of it. We have kept it successfully for several months, even over a year, frozen in containers and still without losing its medicinal benefits. So I would be completely comfortable with that. At the same time, if you have access to the fresh leaves, there's nothing better than getting it right from the plant. Now, be careful. Don't go to the grocery store and buy a leaf. I actually have a YouTube video that demonstrates a leaf that I had purchased the day they arrived. I had been keeping an eye on the grocery store across the street. The day they arrived, I went, purchased a big leaf, and I brought it back to my office. And I have been harvesting aloe leaves at home and marking them with the date they were harvested. So I brought the one in from the store and compared it to the leaves that I had harvested one a week for the past 4 weeks. And it was clear that the one in the store was probably at least a month old before arriving in the grocery store. When you remove that leaf from the plant, not only is it going to age, you're removing it from the life source, the plant, but you're going to notice that the bitterness increases in the gel. Those layers seem to melt into one. You're also going to notice that the leaves in the store are much thinner. Sometimes they're thin on the plant, but that's kind of a self-preservation system. When they don't have enough water, they'll consume their own hydration. But a healthy plant is going to have big, thick leaves. If you remove those leaves from the plant and you keep them separated for a month, they're going to be pretty thin by the end of that month. So I wouldn't run out to the grocery store. I would do your best growing your own or finding a real local source where you can know that you're getting a fresh leaf instead of something that was shipped from overseas, went through many channels before it eventually made it onto the produce section of your grocery store.
And what about other ways of preserving at home besides freezing? I just don't like freezing much.
I understand that. I wouldn't. There's no other ways that I know of that I'm aware of. That's and okay. The reason I say that too, there has been research done. And remember, because they do have digestive enzymes in a sense, they will consume their cells. There's actually, on the International Aloe Science Council website, I remember reading something about the controversy of whether or not there is the mucopolysaccharides in aloe vera purchased at the store. And it had to do with the fact that they're only available for so long after removing them from the plant. It seems that freezing is the only thing that keeps those intact.
Okay, cool. And what about species of aloe vera? I don't know how much you've looked into them. And because again, in my street, I'm thinking, I live on the beach, like there's so many, and it's not the main aloe, Barbadensis. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, what would you say? Is there benefits in those? Of course, there's so many, probably. But the ones that are, yeah, okay.
Well, there's probably three or four top species. And well, if we were looking at the top two that everybody has heard of, it would be aloe vera, Barbadensis miller, and aloe arborens. So those are the two that I would be looking for if I were going to consume it for medicinal purposes. Mm-hmm. Both of them very, very high. Barbadensis miller is declared the king of aloes. Aloe arborens is declared the best by the one brand that I know of that sells it. It probably is very, very good. And I have no doubt that people have found its anti-cancer properties, as they have with the Barbadentis Miller. And within Barbadentis Miller or aloe vera, aka aloe vera, there's many varieties. We consider ours to be the Stockton variety because it was discovered and researched by Rodney Stockton, who compared it with other aloe veras and determined that this one had the highest medicinal properties. So it was the one that he chose to keep and cultivate and protect as a variety of the aloe vera species. And based on his word, we continued that particular variety. But more importantly, I think more important than variety is probably growing conditions, maturity of the plant. You know, how fresh is it when you consume it?
Exactly. What you have available to you, that's such a key concept in Ayurveda. It's called okasatmya, and it means what is habituated, what is in your area, and do what's local to you. And as Michael was saying, like if you can get, you know, harvest one leaf every day to add to your food or whatever, that's awesome. And I would say probably just, would you say, Michael, just to look for like a nice, thick, juicy leaf, some flesh. Flesh and when gel?
Yes, if you were to put your fingers on each side of that leaf, you'll find varieties. You'll find leaves that are a quarter to a half inch in thickness, and you'll find some that are over an inch in thickness. I do believe that that thickness has a lot to do with the health of the plant and the proper amount of sun and hydration that they are getting. Once you are finding them in the store, you can't really tell because they are probably far removed from that plant.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get into the buying aloe vera from shops because we have some questions. So, yeah, what do we have to look out for in a shop?
You know, the worst thing that I have found is processing affecting our food. And if you went to the International Aloe Science Council website, under resources is a video that shows how most aloe vera companies are processing. In fact, Dylan, let me make this a little bit bigger here. I'm going to give you the nitty gritty. I'm going to give you the dirty secrets of almost every juice industry. This is gold.
Get dirty, Michael. Get dirty.
and before doing this, though, I am going to say when it comes to aloe vera, I like to liken it to intimacy. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. it is a wonderful plant, and some of the most processed products are still getting results. But with that, when it comes to... And there's a lot of different brands out there, just like there's a lot of different brands of orange juice. But there's only a handful of farmers producing juice for all of these brands. So you can apply this to almost anything, almost any juice that you like to purchase if you were purchasing it from a store. They all go through a filtering process. They go through usually a pasteurization process and a preservation process. From there, they're usually hot sealed in 55-gallon plastic drums that have plastic liners in them. And the reason they hot seal them, heat seal them at 170 degrees in these plastic drums is because they know once they seal it and that temperature is in there, certain things aren't going to grow, especially with the chemical preservatives. Those big drums are then shipped to distribution facilities. They're actually purchased by other companies that then distribute to all the other brands. And those other brands will likely have them processed at their laboratories of choice, where they may repasteurize, add additional preservatives, colors, flavors. But the initial preservatives that are put in at the farm, we call those incidentals, they aren't actually included on the labels because it's really just aloe vera. And then whatever the purchaser does with them, those are what's added to it. And that's what you see on the label. So a lot of the products we buy on the store shelf have preservatives in them that aren't on the label. In the case of aloe vera, a lot of them also have thickening agents. And the reason for that is they want to thicken it up so it seems to be aloe vera gel once again. See, in the processing of aloe vera, most of them are put into these big tanks with big bags of diatomaceous earth, big bags of activated carbon. And in these homogenation tanks, they have these big paddles that turn and stir it into this big carbon slurry. From there, it gets put through a filter that uses pressure that separates these carbon cakes with all the so-called impurities. But carbon, we know carbon is a great filter, but it doesn't distinguish. It doesn't know the difference between good and bad. So in this decolorization, deodorization, that's what they call this process in the case of aloe vera, the anti-nutrients are being removed with the nutrients. What's an anti-nutrient? That would be like an outer leaf nutrient that probably keeps bugs and invaders from consuming the plant because it's maybe a very bitter, animals don't bite into it kind of thing. So as we're taking those out, we're taking the nutrients with it. And again, not the anti-nutrients in small amounts can certainly be used medicinally. We're not saying they're of no value. But in this process of taking out color, taking out aroma, what causes color and aroma? You know, if we were to compare an organic tomato with a conventional tomato, the organic tomato is probably going to have more color, probably more taste to it. Color and taste and aroma is nutrients. So as we're filtering them, pushing through a thin liquid, instead of it being thick now it's thin, you get this clear, thin, odorless liquid. It's not diluted. They didn't add water, but it is diluted in the sense that they took stuff out. So the water content is now much higher. There's actually some brands that if you shake the bottle, it actually sounds like water in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's actually some brands that if you taste it blindfolded, you can't tell if it's aloe or water.
For those people who are probably drinking tap water.
Well, you know, I think what's happening in those cases, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I do know that some processing plants will actually dehydrate aloe vera. And in that process, there is a separation of the powder from the water. And technically, if we were to bottle the water from that process, technically it is 100% aloe vera, because it came 100% from the aloe vera plant. So it's something to be aware of. Now, what do we do? Are there incidentals in our aloe? No. We do something very, very different. We hand fillet the leaves in the way that I described earlier. We cut the ends off. We cut the spikes off. And that fillet with the two skins on goes in a bath tank, and then a conveyor belt picks it up and drops it in the next bath tank. And then it's taken out of that and put onto the fillet tables where they are skinned. The gels are taken to a grinder, the fillets that is, run through the grinder, and then from the grinder they go through 110 feet of stainless steel pipe that has cold liquid on the outside so that we can get the gel from the 90 degrees field temperature down to 50 degrees Fahrenheit as it goes into the containers that we're going to put into the freezer. That's our process. And I wish we didn't have to freeze them, but I'm glad that it was never in plastic at 170 degrees Fahrenheit.
Hmm. Great. And how long will that last, your product? Like, what's the
You know, in the freezer, I'm comfortable with more than a year.
Yeah, but once you ship it.
We had one... Oh, yeah, okay. Before answering that, we had a competitor in the frozen aloe vera industry that wasn't selling very well. And it just so happened they stored at the same storage facility that we do in Fort Lauderdale. And they picked up their last supply 5 years after it had come in from overseas. So they felt it sufficient to keep in the freezer for 5 years and then still sell it. Once you melt it, you know, we have to look and say, how long would you have your juice, say, refrigerated before we determine it's not good? And it depends what kind it is, because if it's grape juice, for instance, it's going to turn into a champagne or a wine. Might become a little effervescent. And it doesn't mean that it turned bad. It just turned into something different, more of a probiotic, less of a sweet grape juice. Cabbage would turn into sauerkraut. And it's different. So things change over time. Aloe vera has that unique sugar in it that doesn't ferment like glucose. It's not antibacterial or antimicrobial, but it is more bacteriostatic than other fruit and vegetable juices. So it will last longer in the refrigerator, and it seems to stay a good 7 to 10 days and even longer. Now, this is where I like to ask that million-dollar question. What would you rather have, a penny that doubles every day for a month or $1 million? And the reason that's interesting, because if you think about it, you say, well, in, you know, one, I start with a penny, then I have two, then four, eight, 16, 32, 64, $1.28, 264. You know, at the end of a week, you only got a buck or two. It doesn't seem very significant, but at the end of the month, we now have millions doubling. It's the same thing with fermentation. There's going to be a point where that product rapidly changes. And all of a sudden it goes from, you know, if you take it out of the refrigerator and you give it a shake, it goes from being goopy to splashing like water almost overnight. Mm-hmm. So 7 to 10 days seems to be the safe zone. I've consumed it after a few weeks in the refrigerator, still having that thickness and not being any more sour than it was when it went in. Mm-hmm. It's one of those where we just have to tap into it and think for ourselves and decide whether or not we want to consume it. Now,
sure.
If you consume it when it's full of bacteria, is it bad for you? From your perspective, I don't know in Ayurvedic medicine if fermented food is acceptable.
Yeah, it is. At certain times, you know, it's more of a winter food and it's in little amounts. Condiments.
Okay. And, you know, you asked me about, you wonder what scriptures I think of. And one's coming to mind right now, which a couple thousand years ago was written, stop drinking only water and use a little wine for your stomach and your frequent infirmities. I believe that was referring to the probiotics that come from fermented grape juice, because it was written about the stomach and the frequent illnesses, which is why people might consume probiotics. I could be wrong, but that's one of my thought processes on that. So sometimes when something gets old, it doesn't mean it's bad for you. It's just different. Consuming old aloe vera is not necessarily going to harm you, but it's not necessarily why you wanted to consume it. You may have wanted it for the healing benefits and not the probiotic benefits. And for someone that likes wine, grape juice changes in taste in a way that is pleasant. Not so with aloe vera.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have a difficult time acquiring a taste for fermented aloe vera. I know that because I've tried.
Cool. And Just again to clarify, if we're making our own, oh, before we go into that, someone asked about citric acid as a additive they're buying in the store with citric acid.
Well, anything that you put in to preserve does change it. Citric acid is one of those that is slightly controversial because some would consider it a nutrient and a natural product that occurs in lots of fruits. And I do believe it's even a product byproduct of metabolism in aloe vera itself. But there's different sources of citric acid and different ways of making it. And anything that's added in the form of citric acid, I'm certain, is from one of the big chemical bags that you can purchase of it. And it's also going to change the pH and make the aloe vera more acidic. It's going to change it from what it was. And if you're purchasing something with citric acid, remember, there's a good chance it came from another farm, and there might be other preservatives such as sodium benzoate and potassium sorbates and other types of preservatives added to it. For me, it's one of those things where I don't want to see anything on the label except the food that I'm consuming.
I'm with you, man, for sure. Okay, cool. So, and just to clarify, if we're making our own juice, we get the aloe vera gel, we cut it, we bleed it, like you said, then do we just blend it with it, just that, or do we add water?
Some people like to drink it thinner and may add water, and it's certainly not going to harm it. I drink it straight.
Okay.
Yeah, it's thick. It goes down rather thick.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I was going to say, what about adding heat? Because I really only eat hot food. I don't really eat salads or smoothies. But when I have something like delicate that I don't want to heat, like if it's like a leafy green or a type of lettuce, I'll just add it in at the end of my cooking when the stove's off, and just maybe put it, garnish it on the food or mix it in with the hot food. You think there's...
I like heat too. I've never done that with aloe vera. It has not been a desire of mine.
Okay. Just a little bit.
I like when you tap into your own senses and perception, though. You know, a lot of people do things like muscle testing and kinesiology. I think we have all of that knowledge of what's beneficial for us right in our own brains at our fingertips. And we could look at that food and say, do I want this? And if I do this to it, is it going to be good for me? And before bringing that to your mouth, you probably know something feels right about it or something doesn't feel right about it. And we're all individuals. So I do believe you can tap into that.
Yeah. Beautiful. And how to use it, because it's used for hair health as well. Is there any way that people can use it directly for their hair?
One thing you're not going to want to do is grind it in the blender and then use it for your hair, because you're going to have stuff in your hair. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look good. But if you were to use it for your hair, what you would probably do instead is take that fillet, that gel, and use it like a bar of soap in your hair. Now we're on to something, because you're going to have the gel, but the fiber is staying intact in that, almost like a bar of soap as you're holding it. You're getting the stuff that you actually want in your hair.
Beautiful. Cool. And I'm just going to, a few people have asked, I'm going to just, one woman asked, would love to hear about how aloe vera can be used during a menstrual cycle. I would say don't just keep it for the menstrual cycle. Have it as a herb in general if you want to help balance, you know, your menstrual hormones and female hormones. And similarly, yeah, someone reported that it helped regulate her menstrual cycle. And we spoke about the hormones with that. And what about the skin? Is that used?
Oh, are people using aloe vera on skin?
No. Sorry. I mean the skin of the leaf.
Oh, of the leaf. Oh, well, we use it as compost. And that's going to be your, what are the kinds of fibers? Boy, I learned them so long ago. Soluble, insoluble. It's not really going to be beneficial internally in any way that I could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be interesting to see what Ayurveda does, because Ayurveda can use all parts of the plant, even the root. I'm not sure.
I would imagine they might use the skin on the skin in some way, and I've never studied that. But when you fillet it Now there is still gel on the inside of the skin, and some people will hold on to that skin as they're rubbing the gel on their skin. When you scoop the gel out and you're down to the inside of the skin, could that be used externally? Probably.
Okay. And for when, for the, just one last thing to clarify with the skin, applying it topically, does it, it doesn't matter if we use the inner gel or the yellow periphery, does it?
I would only use the inner gel personally. Okay,
even for topical application.
Yes, I don't have enough experience with the external, but I do know this. It is very foul smelling, and treat yourself to this, villain. Treat yourself to this. Cut the aloe leaf, and right as you start seeing it bleed, the yellow stuff, just dab your pinky on it. And just taste that little tiny dab on your tongue. Now, it's not going to hurt you, but I guarantee you're still going to taste it hours later.
Okay,
Michael. It is powerful.
I'm so looking forward, and I'm sure everyone, you listening to this, is also looking forward. You know, I've got a lot of aloe vera growing, and I'm going to, not heaps, but I've got quite a lot to last me for a long time, and I'm going to definitely start implementing daily on my skin and in my food. And I'd just like to shout out to anyone in Sydney. Feel free to come pick up a shooting from me. Check out the Vital Veda community Facebook page where, you know, we all share questions and stories and everything with each other, including, hey guys, I have this cutting of this herb. Do you want to come pick it up? I'm in this area. And, oh, does anyone have this? I need this. Or I've got a, you know, sourdough starter. I've got a SCOBY, all these things. So just sharing the love locally. And then, you know, if you can't find someone with aloe vera off cut nearby, then, you know, hit up Michael's website. And, you know, I've seen that there's the good strain, the good species you can get shipped, especially if you're in US, I guess it'd be easier, in Canada, as you mentioned. And also if you want to get the aloe vera juice and a whole lot of products, aloe vera soap, I saw a whole lot of stuff. Just check out Michael's website. And what's the website?
HaleyNutrition.com.
Okay, beautiful. And yeah, if people want to learn more about what you do, I'd say, yeah, check out HaleyNutrition.com. There's quite a lot about the story. I think we covered some good amounts. I think people are well equipped to start implementing aloe in their life.
I love what you just did. What you just invited people to share the way that it was meant to be from the beginning, where we all have, you know, we farm this, we grow this, and you have that, and we trade and we exchange and we help each other. That was beautiful.
Absolutely. Especially aloe vera. It's such an abundant plant, and it just creates shoots like a female who knows how to reproduce a lot. That's another thing in Ayurveda. You look at a plant who can reproduce a lot, it's going to help your reproductive system. So, and just out of curiosity, how many aloe vera plants have you got growing in your farm?
Well,
farms.
Let me just talk about my home property, because all of the plants that we ship all over the United States, they are all grown in my backyard. We don't even go to the farm for that. And most of the ones that we ship, we say we're shipping pups, but pretty much every single one that we shipped this year had babies growing out of the roots already. They are very reproductive, as you said. And we actually take them out of the dirt, because the dogs will actually sniff the soil and not allow them through the postal system. So we take them out of the dirt and literally pressure hose off the dirt out of the roots before shipping them. And that's when you'll see the roots that have the shoots coming out with little babies attached to them. And they're amazing that you just put them in the ground and they just keep on growing and making babies.
Beautiful. And you're in Florida, are you?
Yes.
Sounds like a beautiful state. Never been, sunny and cool.
I love it here.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you want to leave the audience with, Michael?
I just want to thank you for all you're doing. I've heard a couple of your shows already, and you are amazing, providing a tremendous value to so many people. So thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Michael. That's very kind. And yeah, I'm so glad to have you on. And really dive into a single topic and just explore it a lot. So thank you. Thanks for your passion and all you're doing and your passion for purity. And yeah, much love. Thank you. I know you just want to go get some aloe vera, go harvest some, get a nice knife, and that can so easily slice through that jelly leaf. And yeah, start implementing to your diet. Sure, it can be easy and convenient to drink some aloe vera juice, and hey, that's great. Just from the bottle, it's pretty tasty, like water, and go for it. But yeah, I hope you can implement these things, and really, if you appreciate this work, damn, it's getting so much work to run this podcast. I'd appreciate you to leave a review, support, share it on Instagram story, whatever you do, take action on supporting. That will be a wonderful thing for you to give back. Really give back. It's a good thing. Okay, thank you so much. Until next time, much love.